Good afternoon, everybody.
Welcome to Quest, everybody. Ladies and gentlemen, let me introduce myself. My name is Richard Bay. I go by the name of Dr. Richard Bombay. Back in my street doc days, right? I have a group with me today on a platform, Blog Talk Radio, under the banner of Quest Youth Radio. But this is special because I have the group five. And I need to say, I had that 12-inch album, okay? We used to rock it in the clubs. Call Me, all of your hits. And, of course, it looks like we got somebody on the line. We're going to save them. Ladies, I'd like for you to introduce yourself.
Hello, hello, hello. This is the Ladies of Sky, and this is Denise, the oldest sister.
And this is Dolores, the middle sister.
And this is Bonnie, the youngest sister.
All right. Ladies, I have to tell you, when I was putting together a promotion where I have to plug in information about the group, I originally made a mistake with your name. But one of the things that I'm definitely correct on is you ladies come from Brooklyn. Talk to me about the history background of growing up in Brooklyn and becoming singers. How'd that start?
Well, interestingly, growing up in Brooklyn, of course, was a choice of our parents who decided to migrate from the South into Brooklyn, New York. We were very fortunate to be born, I think, at what would be a gentle, kinder time, certainly than is going on in the world today. And we had a really wonderful upbringing with a father who worked for transit and a mother who stayed home and basically took care of us. As far as our music career, it was nurtured very early in high school. We all belonged to our high school chorus. We went to FDR High School in Brooklyn, and we were all involved in different types of choruses, mixed chorus, girls chorus, and that's what sort of inspired, I think, our interest in actually singing professionally, as well as, of course, the music of the day.
That's right. Actually, as my sister Denise said, you know, music has been in our blood for quite some time. You know, I was wanting to sing. I think came about us singing in front of the mirror in the projects because we grew up in Lafayette Gardens, and so the three of us used to get in front of the mirror and sing three different songs at one time. And I know we must have drove my mother crazy, but that is where we really got our love for singing.
And also, too, we'd always be able to always ask to sing at somebody's wedding or some reception. I think I do remember singing at my mom and dad's 25th wedding anniversary party, which was really nice. I think we wore red that day, too.
Only Dolores would remember that detail.
And also, you know, like the school talent shows and things like that. So we were, like Denise said, very well-versed or trained when we were in high school. And just having the we just thought it was, like, so much fun, you know, and our hearts were really, truly in it.
You have to tell me, you know how people open up a business and they earn their first dollar? Well, it's different for performers. When they first start out singing, it's for the love and the passion of what they're doing. Do you guys remember when you made your first dollar from actually doing this and you realized, hey, wait a minute, we got stuff here. This is a business.
Well, I have to tell you that we earned our first dollar when me and my sisters were together with another young lady by the name of Deborah Hunter, and we used to sing as Dyla Ray, and that's when we were doing a lot of, you know, more local-type concerts. But Deborah's mother used to pass a hat around, and make people contribute. She said, if they're going to sing, you got to pay them. So we actually earned our first dollar through the efforts of Mrs. Hunter, who kind of led us down the road of, wait a minute, this thing, you know, we might have something here. But professionally,
Deborah James,
that's right, my bad. Mrs. James was the first one to help us get, you know, earn a dollar. But as far as our professional career, it was, you know, once we started working with Solomon and Randy
and doing shows
with Brass Construction in the early years, we started to, you know, as an opening act for Brass Construction, we earned money.
$30 was a lot of money.
$30 was a lot of money.
And ladies, I totally get it. You know, just to give you a small example, Mahalia Jackson is somebody, her first amount of money that she made was like $25, and she really wanted to be a nurse. It didn't work out, and she made $25, and the next thing you know, she sang again and made $100,000, and then she started taking that singing thing serious. Ladies, you've traveled around the world. Tell me about that experience of being on the road.
Well, you know, I would have to say, I mean, a lot of people, I don't believe, know just how rigorous the road can be. It's actually a lot of fun on one hand, but on the other, it is a very tiresome ordeal, and because sometimes you're on the bus for days, you're stopping in truck stops, you got to get to the hotel. From the hotel, you go on the radio station, you do an autograph. So being on the road, I mean, you have to really love what you do in order to be able to withstand the road. I mean, we were really fortunate because we always traveled. My mom and dad traveled a lot, and so we traveled at a very, very young age. So when it came time to get on go on the road, I think we withstood it better than the guys did.
Yeah,
absolutely, because as children, we always did, Dad always either drove us to South Carolina, we did a 2.5 day from New York to California, with a stop in St. Louis. My sisters and I knew how to read a map better than the guys did, and this was long before GPS. So for us to be able to, I mean, we got to Rand McNally.
Yeah, that's right.
We got to Rand McNally in our car all the time. So Dad always taught us how to read the map. You know, things like that, and how to travel safely and travel the best roads. It was like doing family journeys was a learning experience, and I guess it brought us to being able to first going in a truck and a van, a 15-passenger van with the guys,
right.
And then graduating from that to a tour bus.
Yes.
So, you know, and we were already seasoned.
Yeah, and traveling on the road also. I mean, on the good side of things, we got to really meet firsthand with the fans who, you know, of whom we were very surprised, especially when we went to Europe and we went to Africa. You know, there's nothing more exhilarating than getting to a foreign country. And even in Japan, we had this similar experience, and having people singing your songs word for word. You know, you just don't quite picture that or imagine that when you're used to being local or stateside. But overall, I think our touring experience, once you got past, you know, the rigors of the road, then I think our touring experience was really great. And I have to tell you that we have it on good authority from other female acts that we met out there that it made a huge difference with us being sisters, because we traveled, you know, we knew each other's habits, and we made ourselves as comfortable as we possibly could. So we had an advantage over a lot of other groups where, you know, you've sort of thrown a band together or a group together. We were sisters, so we got along really well, and we made, you know, it as comfortable as we possibly could.
Especially
for the guys, too. You know, it's very interesting when I do interviews like this, and I'm throwing together all of the questions that I can write down. But you know what's really important, what really is what you say. That being said, I have to ask you, what is the chemistry that allows the three of you to have stayed together all of this time?
Well, we're sisters.
It's mama. Mama was the chemistry.
Right. Right. And we were raised to be close.
That's right. I mean, that's to say that we don't, I mean, every family has their little issues or their little idiosyncrasies. It's not to say that we don't have disagreements or whatever, but when it comes down to it, we're sisters. And so it's all about family and just dealing with each other however we are, you know. And when it comes time, if we have to kind of like spread apart, we spread apart. But we all have the same goal in mind, which is to keep Ladies of Sky going and keep the Sky music alive.
Yes, that is really it. My mom was really adamant about us doing things together, even from childhood. We've always been like triplets, even though, you know, we're a year or so apart from each other. My mother raised us to be very close. So especially when it comes to the business of the Ladies of Sky, you know, there's the sisters, there's the Dunning sisters component, and then there's the Ladies of Sky component, and everybody sort of brings to the table what is necessary when it's necessary.
Okay, so as far as sibling rivalry, you guys have learned how to work through that and still be together, and that's important.
Yes, I agree with you, Will. You know, I'm just saying we're way past the sibling rivalry part of our lives. Yeah, part like Bonnie said, we're too old for that. You know, that might have been more, you know, in existence when we were younger and more immature, but, you know, we all have our own families, you know what I'm saying? So we try to, everybody administrates their families as required, or we're matriarchs of, you know, our three separate families, but we all work together for the benefit of our entire family. So we, you know, keep the rivalry issue at a minimum.
Well, you know, you guys have so many fans, and I know they love the music. What is your perception? How have you been received as you still continue the journey?
Well, I think that there are two things that happen. One is we see the astonishment on the faces of many individuals in our audiences because they're not quite sure that we are really who we are. And it's not until we actually start singing that they say, wait a minute, that's really them. I think our transitioning from Sky to Ladies of Sky, as far as branding was concerned, took a little bit of time. But now, I think, especially with the release of the TV1 Unsung, it's more in the minds of people how we have morphed from Sky to Ladies of Sky. And so I think we've been very well received by audiences. Wouldn't you agree, Dolores?
Yeah, absolutely. Like Denise said, a lot of times people don't really think that we're the real thing until we open our mouths, but also, too, because they can't still believe that we can still step the way we used to. So that lends itself to like, oh, wow, this is really them. Oh, I remember those steps. Oh, yeah, I remember this song. I can't believe they're still doing it. So, you know, like we're out here to entertain, and people are still loving every minute of it.
You know, music has a way of following time and history and events. And I have to ask you, as time, music runs parallel with what's going on. Have there been any significant moments in history when you ladies were performing that made an indelible mark, be it socially, conscious-wise, in the community, as you were performing? And do you understand what the hell I was trying to ask you?
We absolutely do. And I'm going to say this. We have done a lot of what's called old timers days concerts. I don't know if that's something that's familiar to all of your listeners, but Red Hook Day, you know, we grew up in the projects. We grew up in Lafayette Gardens projects. And a lot of projects and neighborhoods do what they call old timers day. And that's a day when people who either live there currently or lived there in the past come together. And we've been invited on several occasions, one to the actual project that we grew up in, Lafayette Gardens. And to me, that was such a beautiful connection to people that we've known for probably the better part of our lives.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, for them to be able to see that and for us to be able to participate in that. And the same thing happened when we did Red Hook Day, and we've done a couple of
Brownsville Day.
We've done a couple of things in Harlem as well. The other thing that we did, which I thought was fun, in 2007, we tried to beat the Guinness Book of World Records for the largest kazoo band. And that was quite an undertaking. We didn't beat the world record, but the thing that we did do was have the largest kazoo band in Harlem and in New York ever. We made history in that respect.
Harlem showed up.
Yeah. So those kinds of things, you know, that we enjoy being, you know, connecting with the community in those kinds of ways. And I'm just glad, like because we're Brooklyn girls, as we say, that's part of our natural spirit in terms of our lives.
When I hear that, when I hear you ladies say that, it inspires me. And it motivates me. It prompts me to say it is an honor for me to be sitting here talking to you, and knowing that, you know, because when you talk about growing up in the projects, you grew up in the projects during a time where people understood it's not where you live, but how you live. And you ladies helped me realize that. You also helped me realize that the importance of knowing where you come from and being able to give back is an important attribute of the three ladies that I'm so honored to be sitting here having the opportunity to talk to, interview, and share your experience with the world. That's my little tribute to you.
We appreciate that very, very much. And, you know, we really thank you for taking the time to talk with us. It's something that we enjoy a lot. We have this upcoming event coming on Saturday, which we're very happy in light of the fact that, you know, the concert scene, the music scene has been adversely affected by COVID. We're happy that New Jersey and New York have been following the guidelines and have, you know, reduced the curve and reduced the spread such that our government officials feel it, that it's okay to now start to open things up a little bit. So we're happy to be part of a concert that's going to be in the open air in Piscataway on this Saturday, September the 5th, at the Groove Garden.
We did
the Groove Garden.
Social distancing.
That's the Coalition of House Music is presenting this event. Am I correct?
That is correct. We've had the privilege of working with them at another grassroots community type event, Weekwake Park. We were introduced to that organization when we performed there in New Jersey. And so, we're really happy to be working with them once again and being able to do what we love, which is to perform and sing. And I know that many people are, you know, concerned about exposure and that sort of thing, but we're going to make sure that social distancing is enforced, masks will be enforced.
Bring your chairs,
bring your own food, your beverages, and we are going to have a great, great time. We are looking forward to it, and I want to add that my sisters and I, once again on that, you know, in relating to social events, we want to honor all essential workers. So those people who are the, you know, the sanitation guys, the postal people, supermarket workers,
pharmacists,
you know, all those people that have remained available to continue, lives in the fashion in which they need to be continued. You know what I'm saying? But thank you, IHOP.
Yes.
Thank you.
She would say IHOP.
I would say IHOP.
An
right?
IHOP fan.
I'm an IHOP fan. Thank you, ShopRite, you know, all of those Stop and Shop. Everybody that has remained open to, you know, to serve the people, those are the people that we intend to honor in a, I hope, what they perceive as a special way at that event.
Ladies, hold on. We have one of your fans that probably I'm going to bring him on. He's going to ask you maybe a couple of questions. I don't know. Right, but let's find out. We have somebody on the line. Hold tight, ladies. Let's see who we have here. Hello.
Yes, how you doing?
5671. Introduce yourself.
Yeah, I'm Shelton Harris. I've been listening to your music for a long time, and actually still have you on rotation in my car as we speak.
Thank you, Shelton. That's what we're talking about, honey. Keeping it real simple. I love it. I love it. Thank you so much.
Yes, yes. And I was wondering from more of a technical side, were you just the singers for the band, Sky, or was this all one entity?
Well, interestingly, so just to give you a little clarification of our history, we started out as a independent group called Dial Array and then Sounds of Soul, and we opened for Brass Construction prior to their getting their first record deal. But when Brass Construction's record deal came about, then my sisters and I were introduced to Solomon Roberts Jr., and we basically were the founding members of the group Sky, along with Butch Sierra, Gerald Laybone, Tommy McConnell, Larry Greenberg, and I said Solomon Roberts first. And so, yeah, that Sky then became one, you know, one unit, so to speak, of musicians.
Yeah, okay, all right, so is there like are you like not part of the whole group anymore, or are you just the women of Sky?
The group for all intents and purposes disbanded in 1993. The band Sky, after our last album with Atlantic Records, when our option wasn't picked up, and that is due in no small part to the change of the music industry. Where the hip-hop and sort of the 90s New Jack Swing music started to become more popular as opposed to band music and funk music. So at that point, we took like a three-year hiatus and then formed Ladies of Sky. But you should know that we still have a very close relationship, personal relationship, because, of course, after being with somebody for almost 15 years, you don't just part ways as not friends. We still have a very close relationship with Solomon and all of the guys actually in the band, and have kept in touch over the years, except one, just we haven't been able to kind of locate the third keyboard player that we had, but we are close still with all of the members of the band.
Oh,
but technically, we are the Ladies of Sky.
You're the Ladies of Sky, okay. And you know, I know how sometimes people get caught up into these are my copyrights, my songs and stuff like that. Do you have any problem playing any of your older stuff with the whole group now that you're kind of the Ladies of Sky?
No, we don't have any problems. The interesting thing is that we have the tracks. We were given the original tracks from Solomon, from Tommy McConnell, who wrote some of the songs, and Randy Muller. They've this is the thing. We didn't just sneak off and do this. You know, let me be clear. There was a discussion had. There was a discussion had with Solomon. We said, you know what, we want to continue the musical legacy of Sky because our music was still being played on radio stations across the country. And so Solomon was like, sure. And we're like, well, okay, can we get the tracks? And initially we had the tracks on tapes. That's how long ago this has been, okay? And then so slowly we transitioned those tapes to CDs, and from CDs now into, of course, computer MP3s to make sure we preserve, you know, the music. But it was done with the full consent of the members of the band, the writers and the copywriters of the music, which is basically Solomon, Randy, and Tommy. And, you know, to this day, we are using those same exact tracks, which are the original tracks from the band Sky. So we kind of always feel like the band is with us when we're performing, even though we're performing to the track.
Oh, okay. All right. That's good because, you know, like, cause I used to be a DJ back in the day. And I'm not going to lie. I used to mix the, I don't want to say the wrong word, out of a lot of your tracks. You know,
all right.
And I'm really feeling kind of honored. I'm trying not to be like all excited and stuff. You know.
Well, the thing that I love about that feeling, I love that feeling for people because it just shows us how much our music is appreciated. But the thing that I want to reciprocate with is that we are just the most regular people that you could ever meet. I always say this, and it probably doesn't make sense, but I always say we never made $1 million because we've always been approachable. We've always welcomed our fans. You know, we enjoy interacting with our fans. And this moment for us, we're just as honored to meet you as you probably are to meet us.
And we do have to say, and you mentioned that, you know, you were a DJ back in the day. If it wasn't for the DJs, Sky's music wouldn't have been heard as much as it could. I mean, the radio is one thing, but it's the DJs that kept our music alive in the clubs. It's the DJs that kept our music alive at the parties. So we want to thank you, too.
Thank you very much.
And you're welcome. You're welcome. I'm glad to have the chance to be able to do that. All right, it was something new to me. I know, just one more thing, Doctor. You know, there was one more thing that I used to like the way y'all harmonized and all that stuff. And the fact that you're sisters, it kind of lends itself to, you know, the intonation on how you speak and how this stuff is like the same. So when you sing, it gives it a whole nother, like, a wholesome feeling to the music and stuff when you're doing that. You know, I never knew y'all was sisters till just a couple minutes ago. But I'm glad to hear that. I'm glad to see that.
Thank you. Well, that was definitely to our advantage, you know, in terms of our sound. Definitely, you know, it made a big difference in the sound of the Ladies of Sky.
All right, well, thank you very much for talking with me, and I'll probably see you on the 5th.
All right, we'll look forward to it. Thank you.
All right. Okay, that was interesting. Thank you. I want to thank the caller, Shelton, and thank you for calling in. Ladies, how did you enjoy that? One of your fans actually called in.
Let me tell you, that's just great, and we're glad he took the time. And, again, it's so grateful and satisfying to still be relevant after 40 years. You know what I'm saying? As Ladies of Sky, we've been doing this in excess of 30 years. And so, you know, we're very, very grateful and thankful for the interest that, you know, that is still being shown in our music and in us in particular.
Okay, well, ladies, I know you have a manager. I know you're about business. So let's talk about this event on September 5th once again. How do we contact, how do we get tickets? How do we come to your show?
The tickets are available on Eventbrite. I believe it comes under the Comey website. And you can go on to our Ladies of Sky website, Ladies of Sky Facebook page, and the link for tickets is available on that page. In the alternative, I will share with your listeners my husband's phone number. And if you're having any kind of a difficulty in obtaining tickets and you want tickets, you can reach Mr. Austin Kwame Wilkinson, who is the manager of the Ladies of Sky, at 347-645-1061. I have way too many numbers in my head. 347-645-1061. Reach out to Mr. Austin Kwame Wilkinson, and he will be happy to share the Eventbrite link with you. Or you can go on the Ladies of Sky Facebook page, and the post is there with the Eventbrite link.
Okay, that sounds like that is a wrap, ladies. But I have to ask you, how did I do?
You did!
Oh, my goodness!
Woo! Yes, you did great. You did great. Thank you so much. It was very to the point, and you're an excellent interviewer. I think you've been doing this for a while, huh?
Have you?
Yeah, maybe. let me just please just repeat what I said during the interview. It is truly an honor for me to have had you today in my presence, even though we're practicing the social distance thing. And I need to say all the guidelines are going to be adhered to. It is a limited crowd only. So if you plan to attend the event, make sure you get on top of it, because once that limit is reached, you will no longer be able to attend this particular event with the Ladies of Sky and have them sing and perform and just remind you of the beautiful time and the great music that they have. Ladies, I'd like to thank you very much once again, and that's a wrap.
Thank you,
sir.
Appreciate you so much.
Oh, wow. Okay, that's a wrap.
All right.
Thank you,
my son.
Thank you for joining us here with Quest Community Vibrations. Quest Youth Radio is the best youth radio. The Ladies of Sky in the background, as I say, peace. All right. Oh, no. Get out of here.
Good morning, children. Today we are going
to get the fuck out of here. Did I end the episode now? Oh, I didn't say that, did I? Oh.